Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today, and welcome to episode 42 of Defining Duke Ultimate, a Defining Duke supplement. Ultimate is fitting indeed because we just had a hell of an Xbox 20th anniversary, and we have a lot to talk about. In this episode, we're honing in on back compat. As always, I'm joined by the birthday boy, Lord Cognito.
Yo, it's the Devon Day. Feeling good. A little older, a little wiser.
You don't look it, but you look wiser. But I'm saying, you don't look older.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's been, again, shout out to the entire community, Last Stand Media, ILP community. Everybody's just been showering me with love. Very overwhelming, very humbling. It's been cool, man. It's been cool. And then I share the birthday of Xbox, so that's always fun. You know what I'm saying? So we got some stuff to talk about, Maddie. What's going on? We do.
So about 3-4 episodes ago here on DDU, we made a little backwards compatible wish list because the word down the grapevine was we'd be getting a new addition to the library of some kind. Now, our expectations, at least initially when the rumors cropped up, was 10, 15 games. Xbox has added 70. So the backwards compatible conquest is back. And we just want to talk about all of that. The games that have been added, what we hope to see added, what is changing technologically with these things, and just really riff off of this. Now I want to pass it to you real quick. How are we feeling? It's back. OG Xbox games added, 360 FPS boost. How are we feeling about what Xbox is doing here to celebrate?
I mean, we both felt they was going to do something. We're going to get some fan service. We're going to get some nostalgia. We called it as far as back compat, FPS and some of that stuff. But what surprised me is the sheer volume, the volume, bro. And then this one in particular title that we're going to get into that I was just like, someone's listening. They are listening to the Dukes, bro. Yeah. Oh, man. So overall, Jay, just super excited. I did not think this amount of effort would be going into it. But what about you? When just the initial feel of what's going on right now?
Yeah. I mean, every surprise was really spoiled in advance, but I was still thrilled to see it because there were some really nice surprises in that list, and it shows that they're not just going for the heavy hitters. They're picking a couple of lesser known titles there, which I think gives a lot of people hope for their games to make that list. Everyone's got their own list, and eventually some will hopefully crack it. But for me, man, I just love that they're continuing to support it. They're saying they heard us, that we wanted more OG Xbox games. To me, that was the more important one. I want Xbox to continue to ramp that up, even though FPS boost is probably the more business sensible direction to go in. Mm-hmm. I think that with that melding of technology, with we're seeing how resolution's going up, FPS is going up, that if you were to bring that technology to the old Xbox games, the OGs, I think there is something there where it would generate the business they're looking for on that front. So I'm happy to see them going back to it, but they did hit some favorites here. So man, I'm stoked. So let's get into it a little bit. We're going to be bouncing back and forth between an article from The Verge, but I want to start off with what Xbox wrote on their own newswire here, where they say they're excited to add 70 plus 360 and original Xbox games to their backwards compatible catalog. They say the entire Max Payne series and Fear franchise are now playable on Series X and S and Xbox One consoles for the very first time. I think we just got to call timeout right there.
Yeah.
Max Payne, man. Long requested.
Yeah, that is tremendous. That is, not only was it long requested, it's so iconic in gaming. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they debut Bullet Time and the whole, that was a thing, just leading to the side in slow motion shooting. Yeah. That was a thing. Their fear, huge. This is highly requested. Continue.
Yeah, no, I just, man. Because I remember Max Payne 1. I tell this story a lot, but they had the level in the subway station. You're crawling around. I remember just that being such a tone setter for me where I was like, I need to know more. Every time you get to, I think there's a bank underground in this subway station that they were trying to rob. And once you get there, it ends. And you're like, man, I want to know more. I need to know more. And I just have such fond memories of Max Payne. The Max Payne 3 is one that would benefit so much from the FPS boost, from the resolution boost from these new consoles. I think that one's going to get a new lease on life. I would love to see that get some support because I'm hoping that Rockstar can one day find their way back to this And hopefully not in the remaster sense, because we're seeing Grove Street Games is not doing a great job there.
No shout out to Grove Street Games.
Yeah. They have a great name, though. They have a great name.
I love the name, but the performance, I don't know about right now.
How are we feeling about Fear? You a Fear fan?
I am actually not that I've dabbled, but I need to go back to it. Like, dude, I don't remember it, like, too vaguely. Yeah, I mean, too fondly. So it's like, I got to go back to it. It wasn't one of those things that I really dove into, but I know a lot of people love it. But what about you? Are you Fear? Are you a Fear guy?
I actually, little OG shout out here.
Let's go.
My first ever upload on the channel, Fear 3 Let's Play.
Oh,
we got like 16 parts up on the channel. If anyone wants to do a deep dive on the Mr. Matty lore, you can actually check that out. But Fear 3 was just a pretty solid first-person shooter with some good jump scares here and there. A lot of people didn't like it because it was very action-heavy. I kind of enjoyed it, but apparently the Fear franchise 1 and 2 especially are really good. But I don't know much about them. Like, I just remember, you know, me and my friends were starting up this channel, and it was just like, what can get us good pop? Let's play a horror game. That was it.
Oh, horror game, always do it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I definitely got to go back to it. It's been so long. I just don't remember, but I know I remember not sticking with it. That's what I remember. But I got to go back to it.
This one's going to excite a lot of people. The entire Skate franchise is now complete with the addition of Skate 2 and playable on both Series X and S, plus Xbox One consoles.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. And then shout out to my boy, Dan McCullough, who's now... He was formerly of Xbox Live, the head. Now he is running EA, and making the new version of Skate. So this would be a nice transition to get people up to speed, familiar, and then lead them in. So that's a good look. That's a good look.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm still like an OG Skate fan. I love that one so much. Mm-hmm. So I think the FPS boost applies to that one. I'll have to check on that, but still, I hope it eventually does, because, man, that game plays extremely well even today, because I played it earlier this year.
Okay.
We also heard the desire for more original Xbox titles to be added to the catalog. We're pleased to announce that we are bringing more than 20-plus original Xbox titles to an entire new generation of gamers, including Dead or Alive Ultimate, Jedi Knight 2, Star Wars Starfighter, and Atogi franchises. There's plenty more. We're going to go down the full list, but we're just hitting the highlights here.
Oh, yeah.
How are we feeling about some of these additions here? These are their headliners. These are the ones that they wanted to make note of in their news blog. So how are you feeling about what they're putting here?
Definitely feeling this. I'm a low-key Dead or Alive fan. I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know you were. Because, like, I always liked their system. It was kind of like Paper, Scissors, Rock. But, first of all, Dead or Alive was one of the more graphically amazing fighting games for its time. Like, but besides certain things that had a nice bounce to it, it was.
Nah.
Look, we ain't gonna act like that's not part of the franchise. There's a reason this franchise had a appeal.
They actually in 6, I think it was, they had an option to turn it off. I think, boob jiggle physics, man.
Boob jiggle physics.
Yeah,
listen, man.
I forgot
there's
about
a lot,
that.
Lot of youths were drunk.
Bro, when I was playing that demo disc of Dead or Alive 3, I was experiencing something I've never had in my entire life.
I bet you would. Bro, but nah, all jokes aside, like, I loved it. And then for me, it was so cool because being a Ninja Gaiden fan and Ryu Hayabusa was in it. And I'm like, so I had my ninja. It was the perfect thing. So yeah, I loved the franchise. I loved how it, you know, evolved. That was a classic for the OG. When it came out, that was a big, I believe it was a launch title. So yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. What about you? What about the any of that Jedi, that Star Wars? Where we at?
Yeah, I'm a Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy guy. Jedi Knight Outcast 2, or I'm sorry, I think I said the name wrong here. It is Jedi Knight 2. Yes. That one, not crazy about. Crazy about the Kyle Katarn story. I like Jedi Knight Jedi Academy because it you create your own character, you customize your force powers, light or dark side. There's like subtle choices in there. There's a light and dark ending. I just thought it was like a great mastery of that formula. Plus, it has the amazing lightsaber fights. You can just pull out a gun all of a sudden. Love those games. But still a good game. I'm with you, though. When I saw Dead or Alive, my eyes lit up a little bit. That was a definitive game for me growing up. And I'm not talking about just maturing as a man. I'm talking about as a fighter. Dude, these games, if you ever played them, you can even play some of the new ones to get this feel. They have the hardest punches you've ever seen in a fighting game. Like, the impact in them is just, it is, you feel it. Like, when they hit the wall, in Dead or Alive 6, you can, like, bust them through the wall, and you enter a new arena.
Yes, that was so cool.
I mean, they did that in Dead or Alive 3. I remember, like, you would get knocked off the ledge. They've done that for a while now, and the stage transitions are fantastic.
Amazing.
Highly, highly recommend it. Even though you see these, like, nimble woman just getting, like, kicked off a building, landing on an exploding car, and they just get up, and they're like, all right, let's throw
hands.
Let's
go through, I forgot about the transitionary stages. Yeah. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah, no, you're good. Just I think that's going to be a slept-on one that people are going to look at and go, like, okay, cool. But like, I really do recommend people give them a look.
Yes.
But there is another Star Wars edition on this list that I got to shout out, and that's Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. I'm surprised they pulled this one out.
Yeah, talk to me.
So, what's interesting, first and foremost, is it's a very specific time in Star Wars where I don't know if like the OG Clone Wars game, for example, that came as a launch title, the double pack, you had Clone Wars and Tetris. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that is back compat. I might be wrong on that, but it was just kind of surprising to see a very specific movie tie-in game make its way to back compat, because one of the biggest hurdles we see is the rights.
Yes.
And there's a couple other on this list we'll talk about, but that's what surprised me most is Xbox made some seemingly legal hurdles here that I think can open the floodgates.
Yes. And that's the thing. The other thing I've got some information on, I keep that thought in mind, because what I'm hearing from a lot of these things with licenses, somehow they're able to circumvent if you have the disc.
Mm.
And I'm curious, because when we're going to get into one of my beloved games, I asked some questions in turn, like, how did you pull this off? Because from my understanding, license would kill this thing. And I think one of the things they may have gotten a legal hurdle around, because I'm with you, bro. I did not expect to see this. Just for the licenses and that stuff alone has expired. Yes. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Let's keep going down the list.
Yeah, let's do it.
So they talk a little bit about on the Xbox Wire post, a core tenet since the very beginning of Xbox backwards compatibility program has been not only to preserve the games you know and love, but also to enhance them using the latest technology so they look and play better than ever before while staying true to the original creator's vision. With Series X and S, we introduced innovations and improvements such as FPS boost, auto HDR, and faster loading times, which breathe new life into classic titles. So every backwards compatible title added today, so all 70 of them, will experience improved visual quality with auto HDR on supported displays, which automatically adds HDR enhancements on Series X and S. Original Xbox games will experience a resolution increase on all Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One consoles on supported displays. So 4x resolution increase on Series X and Xbox One X, 3x resolution increase on Series S. And that's kind of interesting. The 1X is above in resolution compared to the Series.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Series S, 3x resolution, and then Xbox One S and One have 2x resolution. Players will experience even smoother gameplay on 11 titles added today via FPS boost, which doubles the original frame rate up to 60 FPS, including Fear 3, Binary Domain, and Nier. We're also excited to announce we've enabled FPS boost on 26 more titles from the existing catalog, including top requested titles such as, and this one hurts, this list hurts a little bit.
Let's go.
I'll talk about why.
I know. Let's get it.
The entire Gears of War franchise, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, Oblivion, Elder Scrolls, Dragon Age Origins, Dead Space 2, N3, Alan Wake, and Sonic Generations. And beginning today, FPS Boost is rolling out to 33 titles via Xbox Cloud Gaming that were previously enhanced on Series X and S, including Fallout 4, 76, and The Evil Within, which you can toggle on yourself.
Yes.
Now, I don't mean to keep talking, but
No. I need to hear this. What's going on?
This list hurts a little bit because there's a lot of games here that I've sunk a lot of time into in that 30 FPS. I played the whole Gears series at the start of this year, right?
Ooh.
A little defining Duke celebration for myself. I was like, let's get deeper into this Xbox ecosystem, right? Go through all the Gears games. Had a great time still, but 30 at times was a little bit painful. Dead Space. I did a whole retrospective, one of my biggest projects I've ever done.
Oh, no.
20-plus minute video. Didn't even do that well. And then I see here, I'm like,
oh,
no. I could have just waited.
No, there's no way you could have known, bro. I thought. Oh, you did.
I thought, because I was like, dude, they're doing FPS boost. Like, this is such an obvious path. I'm not saying like I read their hand, but right. It seemed like such a natural way to go. Especially more so with the likes of Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas. But, man, Dead Space, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, this needs that back compat treatment. And now they got it.
But what about part one? Because I'm not seeing one.
Yeah,
on the list.
I thought that was interesting.
What's that about? That's the one I'm supposed to get back into because you told me to. And I'm like, why is one not on? But two and three, what is that about?
That's the weirdest part to me is how they got two and three. It just shows that there's a technological hurdle that they have yet to accomplish, right?
Or.
I
think it's that. I remember, like I said, what I used to speak to Bill.
Those sons of guns.
Yeah, what I used to speak to Bill, and I used to be like, "This makes no sense." Shout out to Bill Stilwell, who was one of the fathers of the Bat Combat team. You know, he was one of the OGs. Right now, Jason and those guys have carried on the legacy. Jason Ross, salute to him as well. But I used to say, like, this doesn't make any sense. How would you have, like, the sequels and not? And then he'd be like, he's like, "Cog, a lot of times, you know, the actual publisher, the company, they have plans on things they want to do, whether it be remaster. So what would happen is if you put Dead Space 1 with that 60 and you get it in its original form, like Maddie likes it, that may not entice you to go spend $60 on this remake
that
EA is planning for you to buy. And that sucks, but it's business and I'm not condoning it, but it makes sense now. It's got to be that. It makes no, they're going to put two and three. You mean to tell me there's a technical, I find it hard to believe. I'm not saying that I know everything, but no, I find it hard to believe.
You're probably spot on. I was being naive there. You're probably spot on.
Shysters of EA.
I know, man. All right. Well, we got FPS boost on 360 though. And we're seeing some classic titles there. What are we thinking about that though? I mean, Fallout 3, Oblivion. They're right in my wheelhouse right now, man.
Oblivion.
How are we feeling?
Oblivion, I need to go back. I need to go back. It's been so long, and no disrespect to Skyrim, but Oblivion was what made me take the Elder Scrolls series very seriously. Mm-hmm. That's the one near and dear to me. I remember it very vividly. I haven't played it in years, bro, so I want to go back to that.
Oh. It's good, man.
I got a confession.
3 years ago. Oh, let's hear it.
Fallout 3, I played, beat, loved, right? What? DC, I've never played New Vegas.
What?
I've never played New Vegas. I missed
You've
out.
You've been hiding this from me.
I've been hiding. I didn't want to confession time.
No, that's fine, because here's the thing. I did not like vanilla New Vegas.
Really?
I appreciate it now. I think it was because I played it when I was young. I was like, what was that, 2011, so... Take 10 years off the clock. I was like 15, 16 at the time.
Okay.
So to me, another Fallout 3 expansion, this sucks. Didn't really like it. Even years later, though, I came back 3 years later. I was like, nah, just Fallout 3 speaks to my soul. And Fallout 3 is one of my favorite games ever. So that makes sense. But Oblivion, it's so funny you bring that up because I don't know how much you'd like it in its base form. I think you'd really appreciate the writing, the world, but the combat's not great.
Really?
But the exploration and the beat-to-beat, the storytelling... The choices, the character builds, that's all excellent. So I think there's something to appreciate there, but that's why a lot of people who rave about it mod the hell out of their game.
Oh, okay. But let me hear this, because from my understanding, New Vegas was the InXile one or the Obsidian one?
Obsidian,
right. Yep. So from what I heard from hardcore Fallout fans, shout out to my boy Anchorman, like they would all, and I think even Attic is like, New Vegas is the GOAT out of them.
It is, but, yeah, for sure. Oh, that's widely believed across the community, absolutely. And I don't argue it at all. I think it's a template more developers need to try to follow. Like it has four branching story paths that all have different endings. There's a lot of choice there. And again, there's a lot of builds. A lot of moral gray areas. It's on a writing world and choice front, the best you can get, which is why it's worth playing.
Gotcha.
It's definitely worth playing. I just don't know how much. Of course, I'm biased. I love Fallout. You know that, but
of course,
I'd be curious how much you fall in love with it. I have no doubt you would like it. I probably spoke a little too strongly earlier. I don't know how much you'd love it though, because if you can accept that age with that gameplay and kind of rock with it, at least on the console form, I would just suggest modding it. But if you can rock with the age, you'll be good.
Now, question, because this will be a big one. VATS is in that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Ain't no VATS,
it plays just like Fallout 3, except you can aim down your sights.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were about to say, like, hey, they went left with the combat. See, my thing is, I never play Fallout tradition. I'm in that VATS, man. That's what I think. I love VATS. Like, that's my thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And we still got our special system, like special.
Yep.
Okay. So it's just, okay. You're concerned to see how if it holds up with me from an age perspective.
Yeah, from like gameplay, like first person shooting combat, because it's not very
good.
But if you liked Fallout 3 a lot, I don't know when you played that, but
I
if you
did.
Liked,
I remember it vividly.
Okay.
And so I love
you'll
Fallout
be fine.
3. Okay,
you'll
yeah,
be,
I'll
yeah.
be fine. Yeah, as long
yeah
as
you'll love this then. You'll
okay,
love this.
Okay, good. That's all I can
yeah. The only thing I'll say is I didn't fall in love with New Vegas until I turned on hardcore mode, because this game was made in about, I think, 18 months is what I was told. Mm-hmm. And so there are some areas that look undercooked. Like, you'll show up and you know how Bethesda typically has like those environments where you're like, oh, what's the story here? Mm-hmm. You get that with Fallout 3, like across almost everywhere you explore, or there's something there. Where New Vegas, they'll have like, it's Raoul's Shack will be an area, and you'll go up to Raoul's Shack and you'll walk inside and there'll just be like a workbench, a bed, some food. And you're like, what the fuck is the point of this? But then I turn on hardcore mode, and it's like, you are, thank God this is here. I can rest. I can get some food in me. I can tune my weapons. Mm-hmm. It adds a whole new layer to the game that I think makes the Wasteland much more interesting. So
interesting.
I'd be curious to see how you feel about that game. You should. Okay. This would be a good Christmas time game
up.
For you.
Yeah, I'm definitely firing up. Because plus, it for the significance of, as much as I'm capping for Obsidian, I need to know why it's revered the way it is, and to see them and their take, right? How they did. So that's another thing.
If you see some of the skill checks, I think you'll get it like that. Like there's for an open world game, there's some really significant consideration there. They did a great job. But they were also gifted a really good opportunity, right? Not to get off on this whole tangent on New Vegas, but we're talking about a game that literally had the blueprint, everything laid out for them. They had the tools, the systems. Like, here's how the shooting is. Here's how the Pip-Boy works. So they were just like, hey, make a story and choices, and obviously they had to do work on putting in aim down sights, but like, they were gifted a opportunity to build off of that in a very easy manner, which is why whenever I talk to people from Obsidian, even though that big game was made in 18 months, they were like, we were never crunched. Like, it was like, there was no stress on that. Like, we just made the game we wanted.
Nice. All right.
There's a reason why.
I'm gonna hit it up.
All right, good. Well, we got the full list of 76 total back compat games arriving as we record this today on Monday, November 15th. Now, Cog, number one on this list here.
Yeah.
I'll let you do the honors, man. This is all you.
Bro, so we had that great ultimate of our requests, our hopes, what we would hope would come to back compat. So again, I'm just sitting there on my timeline, you know, I'm watching the stream, I'm seeing everything, and then my Twitter's going crazy. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's just birthday stuff. Cool, right? It's still going crazy. I'm like, yo, what is going on? Cog, they did it. They did, bro. I was just playing it. They spoke it into existence. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Mm. It's that 50 Cent Blood and Sand, baby. Let's
Unbelievable.
Go.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So this is truly remarkable because, one, again, it's a cult hood classic, right? Let's just go right there. But again, from what I know with back compat, licensing, music, this is like 50, this is a B-side. Like, bro, this is literally all of 50 Cent's and G-Unit's albums and stuff you never heard before as a backdrop. Plus, it's just a wild romp. I'm thinking there's no way. So when I see this, my first thought is, how did they pull this off, right? I'm happy. So you know, I went behind the scenes, ask a couple questions, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my thing is, from my understanding, you have to have the physical disc, right? If you go to the store, because I tried it, don't come for me, Xbox app people, because I didn't do it on the app this time. Normally, when I display this on the app, they're like, no, Cog, it's on the console. You didn't check. I checked. I went to my console, put in 50 Cent Blood and Sand. It's there, but unavailable to download. So I'm like, damn, what am I supposed to do? So I'm hitting people up like, yo, what's up? So they're like, look, that's the licensing loop. If you have the disc, so I don't know how they're able to pull this off, then you can play. So I'm going to tell y'all right now, eBay is a war zone out there right now. I'm just telling y'all, I see the prices up to $70. Somebody snitched and sent the word eBay, bro. It's bad. Now, if you try GameStop, it's gone. So you're going to have to bite the bullet either on Amazon or eBay, and then, you know, God bless. But I was able to, you know, to find that joint again. You know what I'm saying?
Right. How much you pay? No, you paid the scalper's price.
They got me. Like 45 or something.
That's not bad. Okay.
Not bad. You know what I'm saying? But I got to wait a little longer because I was like, damn, bro, you can't ship it fast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he's got the box in pristine. You know what I'm saying? Because my thing is, I don't want to go in the crates and dig up my 360 and all that. Like, it's because before, I think I believe I didn't even have. Oh, I remember now. So I can't. Basically, Sov had a way for us to play games a certain way back in the day, if you know what I mean, on 360. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you had a binder full of discs. So we don't want to do that.
No.
So what we want to do is we want to get the original in its form. But look, bro, this is a great day. Hip hop fans, stand up. Cult classic, you better play. If y'all have it, dust them off, put them in. But enough ranting about 50 Cent. But this is a glorious day for me. One of my cult classes, man.
I'm hyped for you. When I saw that, I was like, that's just, I didn't even like scream. I just thought to myself, unbelievable. It's actually here. That's
bro,
great.
They
to
listening.
See.
They listening to Duke. This is too many times we've spoke stuff into existence, bro. They listening. I'm telling you.
It's time for them to listen to me.
Let's go.
My death row is not here, man. I've been advocating for this game, man. I've been the number one fan. Just this sports fighting arena hybrid. I mean, it's raunchy. It would do so well nowadays. Give people the chance, man. Do your disc loophole. I don't know if you'd need to do it, but like pretty much every studio involved with that game is just dead outside of Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Find a way, Xbox. Find a way. Bring my baby back, man. That game, I was like having dreams last night of like, man, if I could just go home after DDU, just throw the disc in, throw in some Death Row, play on my series. I got to play. You can play it on your 360, so there's something there.
Yeah, right.
But there's something there.
The inconvenience of grabbing the old console, you know, hooking it up. You know how you got your current setup. You're lazy. You want everything to be right there and accessible. So I feel you on that. And yeah, I did check. I was like, damn. You got to be hyped for that one. That one sounded really cool.
It's such a good pick-up and play game, too. Like, you can just play, get a feel for it. If you want to stick with it, you can, which I do, but... Man, so
what's
good.
Going on this list, though?
Yeah, I was gonna say let's sift through what we got here. We'll make some pit stops. Aces of the Galaxy, Advent Rising, Adventure Time, The Secret of the Nameless Kingdom. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Make the Grade. Avatar: The Last Airbender, The Burning Earth, which is one of the easiest 1,000 gamer score you can ever get, and I think that's why they did it.
Yep.
Bank Shot Billiards 2, Beautiful Katamari. Now, Binary Domain was one they specifically shouted out. Do you know anything about this game?
I don't know anything about that game. I've never heard of that. Binary Domain. I want to shout out a little guilty pleasure game. It wasn't that good, but I remember it, and I want to go back to it. Army of Two.
Yo, Binary Domain's a Sega game. Okay, sorry, go on.
Really? Army of Two. And speaking of Sega, we missed, what is that, Otogi. I've never played that.
Yeah, that one a lot of people were excited about. I saw that in my mentions a lot. Yeah. That's another Sega game.
Bayonetta's in there.
But yeah. Here's the thing. This Sega relationship is proving fruitful, but not in my favor. This is the problem. Dude, people were messaging me when I posted my copy. I was trying to will it into existence.
Which one?
Where's my Jet Set at, man?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You're right.
Yeah,
where's my Jet Set?
Yeah, no Jet Set Radio future.
Oh, I didn't even think about it. You're completely right.
I was... Like, not even from insiders, by the way, when I was being told, like, yeah, it's coming. But I think some people knew that there was stuff coming. They didn't know what was coming. And
wait,
that's why they were telling me.
Jet Set is there, bro.
What?
Wait, Jet Set Radio?
Yeah.
It's there.
Wait, where?
Bro, I'm looking at it. I mean, I'm looking. It says back compatibility list. Jet Set Radio. Yeah.
Hold on.
I just click over on the second because you know how they got the pages.
Is Jet Set Radio Future back compat?
Not future.
That's the one.
Okay. So Future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Future is the one that's like.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Dude. Okay. That'd have been crazy if it was.
No. If that happened like under the radar.
Yeah, under the radar.
I was like, not there.
I should have known. I was like, he had to search. But I was like, hold on. Yeah. Future. Yeah, it makes sense.
Let's see. Binary Domain, it's this third-person shooter. You were mentioning Armony, too. I think I cut you off by accident.
No. I was just saying that it was a co-op guy, cult classic. But it just... It was so cool. It was over the top co-op. Like, I think they were like guys, they had like little hockey masks and they were kind of like Gears of War style, but you could go back to back and do some shooting mechanics. It was a little cheesy mechanics, but at the time, the whole premise was like you and your buddy taking on armies of enemies. And I'm very curious because I haven't seen it in so long. It probably doesn't even hold up anymore. But at the time, I remember it. I was like, oh, it might be something I'll have to check out. I played a little bit of it.
I know. I remember liking it when I was much younger because it was just a good co-op romp. Like, everything you did was together, like lifting your friend up, like bringing
everything
up to the ledge.
Yeah,
you said back to back. Everything was co-op.
Everything was co-op. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let me see. We got that.
Next one on the list here. Mm-hmm. Have you heard this Black College Football Experience Doug Williams Edition?
That, I don't even know what that is.
What is that?
What is that? Yeah, like
a little Google search here. All right, so this is a it's on Amazon here. Brent Aspire? No way. Okay, so it says it's the first of its kind that immerses itself in a home. Wait, this description doesn't.
I know who
itself.
The player is. Obviously, I know Doug Williams. He's a legendary Black football player, and I remember him from the Washington Redskins, and I believe he led them to a Super Bowl one year.
Oh, okay,
so this must be some type of historical. But I'm curious who the dev is.
First of its kind game. It says the manufacturer was Aspire Media. I don't know if that's a developer. That immerses players in the rich culture, history, and pageantry of football game day on historically Black college and university campuses. The game fuses realistic, bone-jarring football action created with the Unreal Engine 3 with two unique rhythm games, the interactive halftime show and drumline challenge. In addition, a wealth of historical data has been integrated into the Legacy Museum, and dozens of licensed tracks performed by college football's most entertaining marching bands are included in the game's jukebox.
Hmm.
Very different.
Yeah, I've never heard of this joint. I'm kind of embarrassed that I don't know this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I should know this. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. I never even knew about that. And this came out, 2009. Yeah, Doug Williams edition. Interesting.
IGN gave it a 3.5 out of 10. Yeah, there might be a reason here.
Said at 3.5.
Not too good.
Not too good. Let's see what's up. What else we got on that
list? Cloning Clyde, Conan, Darwinia, Plus. The Dead or Alive collection here of Dead or Alive Ultimate, Dead or Alive 3, Dead or Alive 4, Death by Cube, Disney Universe, Disney's Chicken Little.
Okay. Any of these ring a bell for you?
I have Chicken Little.
Why am I Chicken not surprised? Little.
No, here's the funny part is that I just on Retro Rebound, if anyone wants to check it out, I just unboxed an OG Xbox for the 20th anniversary. I was like, oh, this would be kind of cool. I wanted to have one. And it came with a 20-game haul of just tons of things. And one of them was Chicken Little. And actually, when I opened it, I didn't know because I didn't look until I opened it in the video. But there was a movie ticket in there. And it was a movie ticket where if you bought the game, you would get a free viewing of Chicken Little. And I just thought that was really cool to see that now added to Back of Bat. I'm like, what are the odds of that?
What's the odds of that? That is interesting. What else we got?
We got Elements of Destruction. We talked about Fear earlier. Fear 2, Fear 3, Fear Files. So the whole series there.
Yeah.
The First Templar. This is an Assassin's Creed game. You ever play that one?
Mm-mm.
Weird box art. Kind of reminds me of a Burger King game.
Oh, remember those?
Remember
Sneak King? Yo, they had exclusive Burger King games for 360. I remember that. That's crazy.
Consider yourselves lucky for those of you who are out there who dodged all that stuff.
Yeah, there's nothing of worth. Just nostalgia more than anything else.
Was it Burger King?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. The First Templar.
Oh, First Templar. I don't know.
No, it wasn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've also got Gladius, Gun Valkyrie, Islands of Wakfu, Lego Lord of the Rings. This is one that was long requested. Manhunt. You ever play that one? That one's, I've watched some videos on it.
I've seen people play it, but I didn't own it.
Yeah, it's like a playable snuff film. It's really creepy. It really is. It's really creepy, man. Max Payne 1, 2, and 3. Love to see that. Mini Ninjas.
I need to see what this is. I see ninjas in it. I need to know what mini ninjas
is. Yeah, this is all you.
what's going on here?
We got to call a timeout right here. Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. You and I are fighting game fans here. Yes. We got Mortal Kombat 9, by the way, for those who are wondering what the OG one is. And that one is... Oh my God. Like, they have not made a better fighter since, in my opinion. Like, I love the first Injustice, but I think that is like a top tier fighter. You in agreement with me? Like, I love MK9.
Completely. I think literally that game turned them around because I would say, as a huge fan of Mortal Kombat, they were floundering. And what they did was pretty bold. They actually rebooted the lore in their game and did a start over. And it was so well done and so integrated into the story, so good.
Yeah.
And like they added a very solid foundation of fighting mechanics. I believe the X-ray system debuted. Mm-hmm. There.
Oh yeah.
Remember the cracking of the bones and the, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It, mm-hmm. The graphical fidelity was there. Mortal Kombat 9 to me put them back on this upward trajectory of we are the definitive. Because I'm gonna be honest, like I'm a Tekken guy, mm-hmm. but when 9 came out, that put a hold on everybody's fighting game. Like, everybody was not. And then, like I said, one thing they always do, well, lore, secrets, and then I think the crypt and all that. Like,
the crypt was introduced in this, and yeah, it was
a complete package.
Well, not introduced, but yeah, the crypt was really good in this game, and it wasn't like how it was in MK11, where MK11 was such a good fighter, but that crypt was just not it. They really dropped the ball on that one. It's always like a little caveat now with them, which is unfortunate to see because I think, again, they make really good fighters. But MK9 is a classic. I insist people give it a shot if they have yet to.
Huge, huge, huge. What about that DC Universe? Did you play any of that?
I love this game growing up, man. Like, of course, if I can understand it when I was like 13 at the time, I think most can that. Yeah, they had to go a little bit softer on the fatalities.
Yeah, he wasn't finishing Superman.
You were not about to tear Superman's head off and beat him his body with it or something. But what I loved about it is there were certain fatalities then that you were like, oh, he just did that to him? Okay. Yeah. Like there were very E-rated ones, like the Flash just running by you a couple of times.
Yeah.
He spins you out and you're so dizzy you pass out. I'm like, okay. Like, but there's some ones in there that you know, you go, wow, cool. And of course, now they don't care anymore because they got the Joker in Mortal Kombat 9. He's just like putting his gun in your mouth and stuff. Yeah, he doesn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. But MK versus DCU was really good in my opinion. Did you ever take time to play that one?
Yeah, I did play it briefly. I do remember. But what I like, again, from what I remember, the way they kind of set up the lore and why both universes are kind of engaging with each other. And this is where NetherRealm surpassed my beloved Namco, because with Tekken, they just know how to do lore and involve every single character. And then I believe the whole chapters. Yeah. And, you know, chapter one is this and this chapter two is Batman. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it was that kind of a vibe. And it made you also play with characters you may normally not play with. Because let's be honest, most people pick up a fight game. You pick up your favorite character. That's all you touch for the most part. And that's it. But what I love what MK introduces, is like, no, you're going to play the entire roster. You're going to see their individual role in the story, right? And then it leads up to the final characters or whoever the story is truly based around. And they always did a phenomenal job. But yeah, I like this. And can we say that this is a jumping off point for Injustice, I would say, right?
Yeah,
like this got them
absolutely
to play around and say, you know what? We want these DC properties. Let's probably get them in their own game.
Absolutely. And you're entirely right. And I just love that game too because I love products of time periods, right? Like, I don't know if we'd ever see a true M-rated or even T-rated MK crossover with DC. Like, I just think both IP are so valuable now that they just need to be on their own. Mm-hmm. And there's value for the company, NetherRealm, Warner Bros., in having them separately.
Yes.
But there was a time where they kind of needed each other to lift one another up. And with how games were made back then, you know, they had a pretty big roster, everyone had their own moveset. Again, there are certain games that you'll only get in certain time periods. And that's not just to say like fad follows like Battle Royale. Like I'm talking something like this, IP crossovers, just a meeting of the minds. I don't know if we'll ever see this type of thing happen again in our time. And that's why this game is so exciting to see it come back.
Yeah, that's a good point. The time capsule and companies working together, because it's rare. You don't really see that type of stuff anymore. And you're right. That's another reason why you should pick it up and play it. You know what? I'm going to download it because I don't remember. I played it, but I just don't remember. It's been so long. So I need to go back and say, okay, why they fight? Why is Batman and Sub-Zero? Yeah. What's going on?
You know there are a lot of games. Like, a lot of games on this list. Call my name.
Absolutely.
We got more, man. MX versus ATV Alive and Untamed. You like that?
I remember the ATV series. I remember the MX. I mean, I think with those, I used to kind of just mess with the dirt bike stuff. But I kind of like the little mix match stuff, you know, of that in the arena stuff with that. So I'm going to see. Just check it out. I don't remember which one was the better one, but I'm just going to take a look at the art and stuff and see what I remember.
Yeah, I believe both of these were, I'm just double checking right now, I believe both these were 360 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. I only played the PS2 ones, so I had never experienced any of the newer MX versus ATV games. I believe they're working on a new one at THQ Nordic now.
Okay.
Nier is on this list. I thought this was very surprising because Nier is also one of the games mentioned that gets FPS boost. And the reason this is kind of shocking is Nier Replicant released this year.
Yes.
And this was a game that was the first Nier with a ton of new bells and whistles, some for better, some for worse. But now they're doing FPS boost on the original. Now, mind you, for those who haven't played Nier Replicant, there's a different protagonist there, but the story is told roughly the same. Just instead of being the father, you're a brother in Replicant. But I was just very surprised to see this make the list. I guess all exposure is good exposure for Nier. Yeah. They certainly need it, but to me, that one was a little bit of a, oh, okay.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. For sure.
Novadrome.
Okay.
Odd World Munches.
This is you now. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
They got me on this one.
Yes.
This one is a special game. I again, implore the audience to give it a look. It's a very, very unique world, Oddworld. There's nothing quite like it. The creatures that inhabit it, the way things are run, and the underlying, actually, like, social commentary that's hidden in these games and tucked away, it's really thoughtful. But also what it really is at its heart is a 3D platformer with puzzles that are not your traditional, you know, I got to mix and match these parts here. It's like environmental challenges. Like, okay, I see a slig up there who's got a sniper rifle. He's looking down in that area. How do I take him out to open up this pathway here? And what you're doing is the Mudokons are being enslaved and they're scrubs. So there's this one mission where you pick up the scrubs and there's a minefield between you and the exit. And you'll like drink a can of what's called espresso.
Yeah.
And it'll make your character run really fast. So you pick them up and you got to sprint and run through this minefield. And it's the most intense shit ever. And here's the thing. If the scrubs die, there's multiple endings in this game. Ooh. And if the fuzzles die, that's another species you have to save.
Mm-hmm.
If they die, your karma goes down and you get the evil ending. But if you save them all, you're kind of like the hero and you get the good ending. So there's a lot of personality to this game, man. And of course, as everyone knows, I love a little choice. I love multiple endings. I love how that stuff goes. That's my speed. But dude, yeah, this one, I'm so happy to see here. Really good game. And an OG Xbox launch title.
Yes. Yes. So what about One Tribe or Bikini Samurai Swap? Was you ready for this? Was you ready?
Man. The Xbox knows what they're targeting with this. They're like... We need to get these JRPGs. We need to get these Dead or Alive games, the big booby games.
Yes, that's what we're going to call them.
Yeah, so they got
a certain demographic here.
Onchanbra Bikini Samurai Squad.
I'm looking at this right now, bro. What is going on?
Let me click images
this
here.
This is a generation for certain.
Wow.
For the youths.
What is this?
Yeah. What's going on?
Nah. I can't share.
Yeah, I'm seeing some things out here.
This is a particular game, man. They got one.
I'm shocked they were able to put that title out like that at that time.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I'm also like not. I feel like nowadays that'd be like a big WTF game.
You're right.
It's a hack and slash action horror video game, according to Google. It's a horror game. All right. Otogi Myth of Demons, Otogi 2 Immortal Warriors. Know nothing about this, but again, saw a lot of hype for this one. This one was kind of surprising. I actually own this game complete in box because it's a third-person shooter crossed with, I believe, either a tactics or RTS game. Not sure which. The Outfit.
Okay.
This one I've never played, but it looks really cool. So seeing that was a nice surprise. Outpost Kaloki X, Quake Arena Arcade, Raw Realms of Ancient War, Red Dead Revolver. This was a solid one.
Yeah.
Okay, this one here.
Let's get it.
Let me just—I gotta verify that real quick. I gotta see the box art. No. Okay, it's this one. Man, what are they doing?
That was not beloved.
Yes. They brought back Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, dude. I remember playing this game. Me and my friends were on the co-op grind in high school. This was $18 at GameStop. And we and my friends had this scheme of the century, right? We were scamming GameStop because what we would do is we traded in a bulk of games. We all had $90. And GameStop had a thing where if your game didn't work, go back. Hey, it's not working. We'll give you your credit back. So me, this poor ass high school student, I'm coming in. It doesn't work, guys.
It doesn't work.
Here's $90 of games back. I beat them all last week. And so this was a part of one of those halls, right? It's like, okay, Resident Evil, Operation Raccoon City. I watched my friend rage at this game. He screamed. He lost his mind. Yeah. This isn't even Resident Evil 6 levels. Like, it's so bad, it's good. This is just a bad game.
Like,
a bad game. Have you played this one?
Yeah, probably uninstalled. I remember this is back in my anything Resident Evil had a name on, I was picking up. Like, Resident Evil was super hot during these eras. Yeah. So you messed with the little side stories, you messed with the. And I remember booting this thing up. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Like, this was one of them joints you sent back, you traded immediately, you took the L, you got the less credit.
You got the 30. You got the 30.
You literally could have went to the store that day, paid 50. Come back home, realize it's trash, go back, and he telling you he giving you $15, $20 credit for your $60. You know, and you got the face, and you like, come on, bro, I was just here. And he'd be like, oh, it was bad. He's like, yeah, but I could give you $20, $25. And you'd be, man. Those are the days.
Yeah, I've been there.
That game got traded.
That game got returned in my case, but man, dude. Unbelievable. Ridge Racer 6, Rio.
Okay.
Risen 1 and 2. This is cool to see. Rock of Ages. Sacred 2 Fallen Angels. This is, if I remember correctly, it's kind of not Diablo style entirely, but nice isometric action RPG.
Yes.
Not the best, but not bad.
Scramble.
Screw Jumper. Secret Weapons Over Normandy. See, like what I was saying earlier at the start of the show, they've got these games here, which gives me hope that Death Row can find its place.
Yeah, they got to, man. Like that. That I'm dying to play that jank now, based on what you're saying.
Skate 2?
Okay.
Here we go.
This is for you.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. This is Maddie.
I haven't played this one, but it's an Xbox arcade title, which I thought was really interesting. This is SpongeBob SquarePants Underpants Slam. And it's, I don't know, it's like a action game with SpongeBob in it. Not really the important one. What's more important?
Let's get it.
SpongeBob's Truth or Square.
Let's get it.
I want to say a quick shout out to all my Battle for Bikini Bob fans out there. That's a Battle for Bikini Bob. Battle for Bikini Bottom fans out there.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Salute to you. Your patience has paid off. SpongeBob SquarePants Truth or Square is the next gen Battle for Bikini Bottom you have waited for. Now, we got the remake for Battle for Bikini Bottom, but Truth or Square is that, man. It is. It has the DNA of Battle for Bikini Bottom all over it. It's got the original voice actors. It's so good. Great gamer score type game. Get on this one. Actually, I'm going to peep eBay real quick and see if I'm about to get scalped. I got to see if I'm about to get scalped. Hold up. SpongeBob.
So funny because when Xbox does this, the scalp, they get crazy. They get crazy online now. Let's see.
$10.
$10. Oh,
$10.
Okay, you can grab that.
This is a good one. This is a good one. You looking for a good 3D platform out there? I know we always talk Banjo here, but SpongeBob's Truth or Square.
This is it.
Get on it. Do not doubt me. I told you all about Toy Story 3. I am the king of tie-in games. I know where they are.
This is high-quality tie-in. Yeah. This is high-quality tie-in.
I'm telling you. I'm sorry. It was $20. I was looking at a copy of a casing game only.
Okay.
No manual. Complete in box. You want the full thing? $20. That's great.
That's a great price.
Some Star Wars games here. We got Star Wars Starfighter Special Edition, Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars The Clone Wars, and, look at that. I was talking about Clone Wars earlier, so that was on the list. And Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast. So these are all really solid games. We talked about them enough. Were there any here that you plan on playing or looking into?
Not in particularly, but I know my Star Wars fans are going to go crazy. But I was just thinking about currently with KOTOR, right? The KOTOR choice. Are they not FPS boosted or available?
It's a good question. It's interesting because I know on the Switch they're running at a higher frame rate, it looks like.
Okay.
They just did that port, Aspyr did. And Xbox never takes the Aspyr ports because they believe in their back compat program,
right.
Which I understand entirely. I believe KOTOR's still at 30.
Okay.
Which...
I was just curious about that. I was like, yeah, I think KOTOR would have been a nice, 60 bump. But again... licensing, I'm probably, yeah, Aspire. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. I'm sure they'll find a way. I feel like that one makes sense. Mm-hmm. Nearing the end here, still some really good ones to go through.
Yes.
Switchball, mm-hmm. Thrillville, and Thrillville Off the Rails.
Talk to me about that.
So these are, if I remember correctly, because I played them a little bit. I think they're like amusement park managing games. And again, product of its time. Mm-hmm. Product of its time. I know Dustin is a huge advocate of, oh, this is going to bug me. He loves this Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
Yes, he loves that. Yeah.
I know it's not that. I know mm-hmm. it's not that to Dustin, but Thrillville holds a special place in our generation mm-hmm. As this just amusement park game where you're building things up over time.
Nice.
Really
nice,
good.
Nice.
Again, you're not going to see much of that. Mm-hmm. Now, Plot, Time Splitters 2, and Time Splitters Future Perfect.
Yeah.
You a Time Splitters guy?
I've played Time Splitters before. It's been a long time. I do remember. But I want to back up. I think we said before Time. Did we say Time Pilot or no?
Yes.
That is an OG.
Oh, that I know nothing about this.
Yeah, Time Pilot is. I'm talking about this is like. It's like one of my first games ever. My dad got me a ColecoVision, and Time Pilot was part of it. Very simple game, airplane game, kind of overhead, horizontal kind of thing. But I remember liking it. I might boot that up. Like, that's just a nostalgic. I was probably like 5 years old playing this game.
Yeah, wow.
But it was an arcade thing. Time Pilot was a thing. So that's an OG. You know, classic joint. And they had different type of little planes and stuff. It was fun. I remember it. I'm actually gonna fire that up.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Interesting. The arcade version was by Konami. So that's another Xbox Live mm-hmm. arcade game.
Yes. Mm. That is a classic. OGs will remember that one. That is a super classic for the arcade.
See, that's what's been so fascinating about this list is we kind of do our research here.
Mm-hmm.
Arcade games, the licensed ones.
Yep.
They got something here. And the arcade games are downloadable only. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I'm noticing.
But yeah, Time Splitters, I have on PS2. I think mistakes were made. So many of these games I collected on PS2.
I know that you get the joke. But yeah, you a Time Splitters guy or no? Like,
I remember playing the demo. I was as people probably know, I was a big demo kid. Like because here's the thing with growing up, like mm-hmm. no money, man. Like
the times was hard. Joe, yeah. It was real.
Yeah. And so like I had to rip off GameStop. Mm-hmm. My demo discs were replayed ad nauseum.
Nice.
And so like, I'm very lucky to be where I am today. But mm-hmm. You know, that source of discovery there for like something like Time Splitters, like that was cool. Like that's a memory for me, even though I didn't play the full game. Like I remember the demo. I remember that bite size thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now this ain't no greatest game of all time.
Let's go.
I don't know what this game is, but Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, you're the expert. Let's go.
I've looked it up here, and the way I'm gathering is this is almost like a experience the rides on rails type of game.
Oh, it's one of those? Okay.
Yeah, like there's no 3D platforming and all that stuff that Toy Story 3 really boasts. Like, if you click through some gameplay, it's all mini games.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story 3 fans, stand down. It's okay.
Stand down.
It's okay. We stay there. We don't go to Toy Story Mania. Just letting you know.
Just want to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Last three. Vandal Hearts, Flames of Judgment, Viva Pinata, Party Animals, and Warlords.
Mm-hmm.
Viva Pinata.
Oh, yeah, that's big. I want to ask you a question, though. Why am I getting confused? Why did I think Vandal Hearts was that other game? They say Vandal Hearts is a turn-based tactical role-playing, which I'm very interested because I've never heard of this, right?
But look at this. Oh.
Yeah, I've never heard of this, bro. I'm like, what is this turn-based game?
I'm looking at this picture of this dude, Calvin. He looks like a dork, and he's fighting like a bandit, man. This is great.
I'm curious.
This looks like Fable in a way. Sorry,
yeah, it looked kind of cool, right? So I want to see what's that about, but... What's the name of the game that have hearts in it?
Valiant Hearts.
Oh, I knew I was getting confused. I'm like, I thought this was the the Holocaust game. It had very deep themes and historical.
Yeah, that was Ubisoft too. That was when they were trying something new. They did Child of Light, Valiant Hearts, and they did something else. And
Valiant Hearts. That's why I got confused. Thank you for that.
I missed that era of Ubisoft. Yeah. That like early 2010s, man. When like Child of Light is one of the best games they made. I'm so surprised that they just have walked entirely, not even subtly, but like entirely away from all of that.
Yeah.
I'm even shocked we're getting a new Mario and Rabbids with their involvement. It's pretty surprising. But that's the complete list, man, from top to bottom. A lot of surprising additions here. What is your collective thoughts now that we've completed that list?
Very eclectic list. Some things that I didn't think they'd be able to pull off, to be honest. You know what I mean? And then other things that I'm like, okay. And then some bad ports, and I'm like, I mean, like bad games, and I'm like, okay, who is asking for this one? But you know, it's kind of like all over the place. But there's some very high highs, some weird lows. But overall, the volume, though, I am impressed with the pure volume, and especially FPS boost. Anything you add FPS boost to is a huge deal for me. So that's the part that I'm really excited about. We knew they were gonna come big with it, but I didn't think this big, not this amount. That's the part that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I wonder, is this it? Do we get another batch eventually? That's the question mark here. I think like FPS boost for 360 games, I imagine that'll continue. Right. I think that's a really valuable thing for their portfolio. As we kind of move into this almost consoles are like PC era, that's going to be a big benefit to have. I think it's a sneaky one that people will be surprised with. Not maybe your number one purchasing reason, but another notch on their belt.
Oh, yeah.
But I wonder, is this just, hey, let's celebrate. We've heard you. We've added more. Because they did nail some big ones, but there are still a lot missing. And that's not to say that they didn't do a good job here. I think they did. 70 games, 76 in total. Nothing to complain about here for me. But I just, of course, look forward and wonder, okay, are we going to just continue this program, continue to add more, or is this it? Are we done?
Yeah, that's a good point. And a lot of it, I do worry about how nimble the team can be, because you know their resources are pulled in a lot of directions.
Yep.
And is this something that they really are going to be able to do long term? We all knew 20th anniversary, they're going to do something big. We kind of felt that.
Yeah.
But after, that's the question, you know, with FPS boost, auto HDR, then the other things that the system can do, I don't know if the resources are still going to be all this. I'm going to lean maybe no. You know, I would be shocked if they still have this level of commitment, you know, to back compat as the gen goes on. But hey,
right,
call me surprised. I didn't think we'd get this much. So we'll see. What about you?
Yeah, I go back and forth on it. I think when you look at it, hey, it's been since 2019. The FPS boost is less surprising. The back compat games are. And when you really look at the new additions to the library, it's like they've added technically, I'm talking like 20 OG Xbox games.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of people's heads were at. You know, I think 360 was to be expected, but I really do think there's value there. I just don't know if they see it. I can't budge off the idea I had months ago when we talked about this, which is that the Xbox One FPS boost, like those games getting those running in better states is just
huge.
Yeah, it is an easy sell for people because they're easily accessible games. People like new. People want to experience those things in better ways where I'm not fully convinced. I think this might be a celebratory thing. And I think eventually someone will catch one of the ears of Xbox and get an interview going, we should have this answer shortly. In fact, that answer may be out there by the time that we sit down to do Defining Duke for this week. Which, again, we're recording on Monday as I say this, but those out there listening are hearing this on Wednesday. But
I do want to shout out one that I forgot, not to cut you out. As far as FPS boosts, because I know the specific ones, Gears of War Judgment. I mean, Gears of War Ultimate, excuse me, Gears of War Ultimate Edition, because that was like their remaster of the classic in a next gen form, but I want to see how that boost is hitting. I don't know why I really want to go back to that particular one. You know, because Gears of War 1 is kind of one of my favorites. Like, I ain't going to lie. But I do want to fire that up. I want to see how that's looking now. You know what I'm saying? On Series X and Series S. For some reason, I'm very curious about that. And this list, I do like that they are attempting a lot here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got the Fable anniversary. You know, all this stuff, and you know, obviously Binary Doom. Yeah, like I'm looking at these 37 games getting FPS boost. I don't want to minimize that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think that's a big deal, you know, getting that bump.
Absolutely. We'll see. We'll monitor this, but we wanted to in this episode just take a deep dive into each game, because of course we've spent an almost hour on this now, and there's no way we could do that in its entirety for a full Defining Duke episode. True. With Jez and Rand there, and many different things to get into. Not that we're going to skim on that episode, but you know, Cog and I, we like to take those big meaty bites on some topics we're really passionate about. So we had to get into that back compat bag and continue the conquest forward. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Cog, any concluding thoughts, or shall we wrap this up?
Blood in the sand, go get that before the scalpers get you. Go get that, y'all. Oh, man. I've spoken into it. It's a happy day. It's a happy day for me. I am super pumped. I cannot wait. Waiting for that. I'm checking that shipping and checking that tracking. See what is coming. I want my box art. I want everything how it used to be so that I could keep that thing parked right in my Series X.
That's going to be a surreal moment.
Yeah, bro. I'm posting it online. Trust me. I'm going to go crazy.
For me, but no, this is dope. Going back to Fallout 3, Oblivion, Fable.
Yeah, Oblivion. God, man. I have to do that Oblivion with you.
Yeah, when I fired up like immediately, because I was like, how fast are they turning these switches on? Again, at the time of recording this, this was at like 2 p.m. on, like, right after their show ended. I was like, just see if it's running. It's not yet, but when it is,
I got to get Oblivion and New Vegas pre-downloaded now. So they'd be ready to go.
Through the app?
Yeah.
Be careful.
You know me, I got to test that app, but if not, you know, go to the console.
You're getting that Microsoft reward points by using the app, right?
That's why every time you log in, bro, that's free games. That's money. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I've been getting into that a little bit more, man. I really been trying to dive deep and farm in it. I fucked up, though. I donated like 1,000 points to this charity, which is fine, but it was a part of this card that was ongoing. And if I finished the card, I would have gotten like 2,000. But I had one Bing search left to do, and I got absorbed into this game. So I forgot to do my Bing search before midnight. I thought I set an alarm to do it, and I forgot. And so, yeah, I completely muffed up, and I lost 1,000 points. And so now I'm sitting at a lowly 2,000 Microsoft points. I know.
I feel your pain on that one, brother. Yeah. I hear you. But like I said, it's all I'm doing right now, download a bunch of games. Big day for Xbox. Huge fan service. It's cool to see. It's cool to see this level of commitment. And
great.
No other, you know, the competition is not doing this. So you got to take advantage. You got to make your ecosystem show that, hey, we care about preservation. And that's something a lot of people really like to hear.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Defining Duke Ultimate. We will certainly have a lot more to talk about on a full episode of Defining Duke, going over Xbox's 20th anniversary, where we'll be joined by Jez Corden and Randall Thor. So please give that a listen if you're hearing this afterwards, because it'll be an excellent episode. We haven't even recorded it, but we're guaranteeing it right now.
Yes.
With that, take great care of yourselves, and we'll catch you all with the next DDU. Peace out.
Peace.
Defining Duke, an Xbox podcast, is a product and trademark of Last Stand Media and Collins Last Stand LLC, and is recorded from the United States of America. The show is conceived by Matthew Mr. Matty Plays Schroeder and me, Colin Moriarty, and is written and produced by Matthew Schroeder. Matty's co-host is Barry Lord Cognito Eversley. Defining Duke's executive producer is Dustin Furman, and the show is edited by associate producer Ben Smith. All of Last Stand's theme music is by Ramon Narvaez. As you know, all of Last Stand Media's shows, including Defining Duke, are fan-funded on Patreon at patreon.com/laststandmedia. The following names are at the producer support level on Patreon, and we're thankful for your kindness and generosity. Andrew Morgan, Stephen Nieder, Ross Marenka, Miguel A. Brewer, Morgan Ashley, Azan, Michael Vecchio, Jerome Ferreira, SL of the FMA, Jorge Palomino, Daniel D'Amore, Brad Cooley, Jeremy Key, Patrick Leslie, Dave Cowell, Tom Quinn, Sword of Serious Gaming, Unofficial Controller Podcast, Colin Farley, Mark Arnold, Zia Parix, Henry Groth, Joshua Rids, Relentless Rex, Troy Miller, Meyer Katz, Jordan Mittman, J.A. Zhu, Tristan Palacio, Drew Mullen, Christian R., Jad Rita, Kurt M. Gillenberg, Patrick Skipper, Sweaty Mitt, Chris Kelly, Dustin Graff, Peyton Stone, Roberto, Josh Talon Rui, Tyler Watkins, Troilus True, Dan Root, Talisman, Christopher, Randall Holsey, Robbie Nauman, Nuke Dukem, Jim Bob 56, William Holbert, Landon Pipkin, Dr. Stump, Josh Godfrey, Kalike Souza, Vornak, Betty Ann Moriarty, Daniel Johnson, H-Trons, Ethan Davies, Jay Getter, Manuel Ochoa, Bjorn Campbell, Jeff Mercado, Gregory Silvinsky, Galja of Fortuna, Boots, Tyler Brown, Poot, Gavin Newland, Saul Balcazar, Zach Parsley, Brian White, Raul Melendez, Eric Harden, Alex Bolton, Matt Martin, Kinnams, Joseph Baker, Rodney Coleman, Chris Moore, Caswell, Anti Kinnanen, Chris, Will Hernandez, Chris Chris Galvin, Justin Gonzalez, Mason Kadilak, Ollie Fritz, Zach Allum, George Anthony Nunez, Kyle Hagel, Christopher, Colin Love, Daryl E. Naiman, Ryan R. Kittredge, Toby Ryland, Michael S., David Bostic, Stewie108, Patrick Montgomery, Damon W., Tom Cargill, Richter86, Steve Hodge, Hofeldian, Ian Bravo, Barrett Boswell, Christopher DeVayo, Chris Morton, Kevin Komaki, Johnny Waffles, Roto24, Jonathan Coach, Sean Mason, Josh Gravelick, Jordan Town, Brian Chand, Organic Produce, Shane St. Pierre, Carlos Algarit, Richard Hebert III, Miranda Grubba, Josh Yeager, Martin Beck, Gavin, Joey Andrzejczyk, Nathan R., Joe McPartland, Gary Cavallo, Christopher Moore, Jacob Bell, Joey Rawlings, Dennis Usel, Eric Finkenbeiner, Lou and Ray Loper, Jonathan Cortez, Dylan Burns, Jason Lusky, Malachi Wall, John Schultz, David Chestnut, Anton K., Brian W. Rath, Alan Trembley, Tyler Bello, Ryan T. Mandel, Tony Zuniga, Sean Battershall, Robbie Hensley, Alex Cabrera, Lennon Brixey, James Kinslow III, Will Caldwell, Hugo's Desk, Peter Reynolds, Anthony Vasquez, Adam Kinniston, Tyler Goodwin, William O'Carroll, Jesper Jansen, Max Cannon, Phil Crone, Throw7, Adam Nix, Josh McKinney, Michael Gates, Alex Gates, Ryan Robertson, Sean Chandler, Petro Rose, Lockmore, Gio Corsi, Joey Gondoliger, Gerald Pennington, Justin Wagaman, David Iacolucci, Paul Joyce, Edwin Castillo, Chad Lewis, Enrique Perez, Joshua Smallwood, Shane Rayum, Spencer Brand, Don Lee, John Cordero, Keith A. Lewis, Marius Garson Peterson, Ryan Greenwood, Tyler Harris, Matthew Perdue, Patrick Harper, Mad Mock Media, Jonathan Rice, and Casual Misfits Gaming.